Good morning. When we think of our walk with God, it's sometimes hard to, well, for me, maybe not for you, it's hard to remember that I have people that help. And, you know, it's something that I'm reminded of how much help we have when we have a Bible study where everybody is really involved and discussing the topics and everything, and it really strengthens me. Now, it strengthens me for two reasons, and I hope it encourages you for the same reason, or maybe you can tell me later what reasons you're encouraged when we have a very active Bible study. It encourages me because it reminds me there are other people that are working with the Scriptures and trying to make a better life for themselves, one that glorifies God more and everything else. And also, it helps me because I learn a lot. It's amazing how, you know, it's like doing a math problem. You learned how you did it, you know, in the first grade, and that's the way you do it every time. And then someone else says, oh, well, I do it this way. And you're like, what? You can't do it that way. I mean, Mrs. Lerneman told me how to do this, and you got to do it. But it expands how you understand things. And so when we are working with the Scriptures together, we help each other. We teach each other. And that's the reason I think Bible classes are so very important. So on Wednesday, we were talking about modesty in general and about Islamic dress, if that's appropriate, what things we should consider when we're there. And afterwards, a very good question was brought up. So we talked about not drawing attention to ourselves by the way we dress. Okay? And that's biblical. We talked about 1 Peter 3, and we'll talk about that some today. But if you dress modestly in an immodest world, aren't you drawing attention to yourself? And that, yes, you are. So how do you handle that? What are you doing here? You can't draw attention to yourself, but you draw attention to yourself because you're trying not to draw attention to yourself. And, you know, I'd never thought about it that way. It just completely never entered my mind. And so now one of my Christian family comes up to me and asks me a great question. I'm like, hey, we need to talk about that. When it's a beautiful question, and it's something we really need to think about. How are we liked, which are very conspicuous, but yet not draw attention to ourselves? So an actually very difficult topic to explain what's in my muddled brain, but I think it's something we really need to think about. So really, I think this question comes down to is, why am I getting everyone's attention? Okay? What is the reason and what is the motivation? Okay? And I thought of a girl that I went to high school with. This was before goth was cool, but she wore, you know, the white makeup and black lipstick and all that, and long, flowing, beautiful dresses that were completely modest. I mean, probably one of the more modest dressers from a clothing covering standpoint in my high school. They were just really neat. And, we were friends. We didn't think much alike on fashion, but, you know, she was an interesting person and we got along well. But she was wearing those flowing dresses to be completely different than everybody else and to look at me, which was interesting. So, but they were modest, thankfully. And so it's something to think about. Another way of looking at this is a child throwing a tantrum in a store has everyone's attention, right? It's not good attention, but everybody's paying attention. Now, if you take a chaotic situation and one child is behaving well, they have everybody's attention because they're different, right? But they're completely different actions that lead to that. A kid throwing a tantrum is not a good thing. A well-behaved child drawing attention to themselves because they're well-behaved and well-mannered, they're doing what God asked them to do in that they are obeying their parents. And that's the good thing. So it has to ask yourself, which are we? So I wanted to look at Daniel chapter 3. In Daniel 3, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego come up. And I was trying to think of who would be the absolutely most conspicuous persons in the Bible. I think really Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And maybe I didn't think of ones that you thought of, so we can talk about it later, but here's Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in Daniel chapter 3, verse 8. We'll read verses 8 through 12. and I will finally remember. Daniel 3, verses 8 through 12. Therefore, at that time, certain Chaldeans came forward and maliciously accused the Jews. They declared to King Nebuchadnezzar, O king, live forever. You, O king, have made a decree that every man who hears the sound of the horn, pipe, lyre, trigon, harp, bagpipe, and every kind of music shall fall down and worship the golden image. And whoever does not fall down and worship shall be cast into a fiery furnace. There are certain Jews whom you have appointed over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, pay no attention to you. They do not serve your gods or worship the golden image that you have set up. So why do I think these are very conspicuous? Don't know. We don't have, you know, the pictures of what happened then, right? But I see Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego going about the business of the affairs of the province of Babylon. The music starts and everybody lays face down to this golden image. And there are three men going. And everybody else is laying down on the ground, right? So who has all of the attention? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They are the ones that are showing up. They're the ones that everybody's going to be looking at. They're the ones that everybody is going to be thinking, what are they doing? And they were very conspicuous. All the attention was on them. But why was the attention on them? Again, that's always the important question. So in verse 16, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. If this be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning, fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of your hand, O king. But if not, be it known to you, O king, that we will not serve your gods or worship the golden image that you have set up. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego decided they were going to serve God, whether that put them in a positive light or a negative light. They were going to serve God whether they were conspicuous or whether they faded into the background. They were going to serve God. And it's important that that's the motivation we have. We think about this. How are we going to do this? I have a friend and he was in India on a business trip and one of the tours they gave was to a Hindu temple and okay, yeah. And then they hand him some incense or try to hand him some incense and said, oh yeah, you can burn this incense to this altar to one of these gods. And he goes, I can't do that. And they're like, just burn it. It's no big deal. And he's like, no, I can't do that. You know? And so we have to be the same way. I can't look at the gods of this time or of your other gods and go, oh, you know, I'll just kind of fit in. I'll fade in the background. But what's interesting is that oftentimes when we are Christians, we will fade into the background, but sometimes we have to stand up for what is right. And so in Matthew chapter 5, Jesus in verse 14 talks about us again being very conspicuous. And it says in verse 14 of Matthew 5, you are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hid, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. All right, so we have some thoughts here. You are a light in a dark world. So like a city on a hill. Have you ever been driving through West Texas and it's really flat and it's dark, there's not a lot of light, and you're 100 miles away and you see a glow on the horizon? Have you seen? I don't know if you've ever done that, but more than 100 miles away, you can see the glow and maybe the lights on the grain elevator. And you know where it's at. It draws the eye. And that's what we're supposed to be in this very dark world. Are we drawing attention because we are a light? We will stand out in this very, very dark world. And it's like the kids' song. Do we put it under a basket? No. We're going to let it shine. Why don't we put it under a basket? It's amazing how much good things, if we could actually live the children's songs, how much better our life would be. Have you ever thought about it that way? But yeah, under a bush basket? No. We're going to let it shine. So, obviously, Jesus is talking about, you don't light a lamp and then put it in the closet and shut the door. It does no good. You don't put it under a basket. But what you do is you put it on a stand, you put it where this light can shine. And when we do this, Jesus is talking about us being an example, a good example, showing a better way to show love the way He showed love, and to show care and concern for God and His precepts. How are we going to glorify God? And that's a hard thing sometimes. What is the right way to be a light in this situation? I think is one of the hardest questions that you can ever be asked, because sometimes it's easy. But sometimes it's like, what's the right thing here? What's going to show and glorify God to others around us? And so this is, the next part is they will see your light and your good works. And you're like, well, that sounds kind of like you're drawing attention to yourself. Look what I'm doing. And it can be that way. But what we have to say is, I'm going to do good things, and if it draws attention to myself, to me, that's okay. And if nobody sees, that's okay. Because I'm doing what God wants me to do. I'm doing the things that glorify God. And then this is the interesting part. Then they will give glory to your Father in heaven. And that's the main focus that we need to have. Regardless of whether we get fame and fortune from it, or whether we, you know, lose our job and lose friends and lose family and all of that, I'm going to do the things that glorify God. That is the light we have to have. And the world needs it. But sometimes it's like in this world, you turn on the light in the shed where all the feed is kept, and you hear this scurrying of the mice leaving, right? They don't like the light. And sometimes that's what the world is. People that are involved in sin or bad things, when the light comes around them, they scurry or they fight. And so it becomes very messy. But that doesn't change the fact that we're supposed to be lights. And sometimes the light comforts people, and sometimes it draws out or shows bad things. And it makes people, you know, very mad, very uncomfortable, and they're concerned about that. So, when we talk about dress, and we'll talk about that in just a second, 1 Peter 3, am I dressing in a way that's glorifying God, or am I dressing in a way that my goal is to glorify me? Sometimes, the outward manifestation of that can be the same. You know, we don't know someone's motivation for how they dress. But we can say this is, through wisdom, through thinking about it, through praying, through life, we can say this is drawing attention to you in a way that it's not good. Or this is drawing attention to that you're going to be different, that you're going to stand out in this because you're going to go to the swimming pool and you're going to dress appropriately. And you're not going to fit in at the beach. You're not going to fit in at, you know, the volleyball court. You're not going to fit in track. You're not going to fit in because you're going to dress differently. And with the Olympics going on, there are so many examples of this. I think it's interesting that the German gymnastics team, they wanted to wear a full-length leotard or whatever it's called with legs covered, and it's like, it's still not something I would let anyone in my family wear because it's still skin tight, but at least they're like, hey, we're gonna cover up more. You know, there's no reason that we have to dress the way that everybody has been. We're more comfortable with this. But people are thinking about it maybe more, and hopefully that will continue on, that people will think about godly things. In 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 3 and 4. Okay, and this is often applied to women, but I think it's very, very easy and appropriate to apply something very, very similar to men. Do not let your adorning be external, the braiding of hair, the wearing of gold, or the putting on of clothing, but let your adorning be the hidden person of the heart, with the imperishable beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which in God's sight is very precious. All right. Do not adorn yourself physically. So, you know, I've heard Christians say, well, you really can't violate that now because everybody's pretty much rich in this society and everything. And it's like, you can. You can violate this. If we put on clothes that are flashy, might cover all the things they're supposed to cover, might not be too tight, too short, too whatever, but we can wear clothes that are like, hey, look at me, like that young woman that I went to high school with. Like, hey, look at me, hey, look at me, hey, look at me. And what Peter is trying to tell them here is that is not how we make beautiful Christians. That's not how we make beautiful followers of God. What the way we do that is something different. We're going to adorn the inner person. We're going to make a beautiful spiritual being by worrying about the more important things. And that's, this is very hard to talk to your kids about. It is. And it's, it, and you, there's no magic bullet, there's nothing. We're going to talk about conversion in the next lesson, which maybe there'll be other ways to talk about this, but this is hard to understand. We all want to be attractive. I don't think anybody wakes up, you know, and goes, you know what, today I want to be physically, you know, revolting. That's my goal today. Maybe on Halloween, but that's maybe it. Nobody wants that. Everybody wants someone to go up to them and say, hey, nice hair. You know, something. And we want that. That's a natural part of who we are. And we got to be careful that we put it in the right perspective. God made men attractive. God made women attractive. That's part of who we are. We can't dress in a way that completely negates someone else's ideas, and we have to do what we can and lead them to their devices. But we have to be concerned that we're trying to be modest. We're not drawing attention to our physical self, and that we're living a life that adorns our spirit. A kid's book, one character asked another one, what do you want to be when you grow up? And the other one said, kind. That's a beautiful thought. I want to be kind. I want to be kind. I want to be godly. I want to glorify Him. I want to trust in Him. I want to not worry my life away. I want to enjoy the blessings of God and trust in His promises that the big things are taken care of. That's a beautiful thing. And it's a loving, kind thing. In Philippians chapter 1, verses 19 through 21. Paul is writing to the people at Philippi, and he's in prison. And he's, you know, doesn't know if he's going to get out. In verse 19, for I know that through your prayers and the help of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, this will turn out for my deliverance, as is my eager expectation and hope that I will not at all be ashamed, but that with full courage, now as always, Christ will be honored in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. So again, Paul's praying for his release here, and asking them to pray on the same thing. But I like what Paul says here. My expectation is, and hope is, that I will not be discouraged. That I'll have courage, and I will stand up for Christ. And Christ will be honored in my body. So, when it comes to modesty, when it comes to extracurricular activities, when it comes to hobbies, when it comes to jobs, we have to ask a much harder question than, is this modest or is it not modest? Is this covering or not covering? Is this too tight, short, high, low, whatever else? Does this glorify God? Or does it glorify me? Or does it glorify the shape that God gave me? Will God be glorified in my body? Either in life or death, Paul could say, for to live is Christ and to die is gain. That was a very beautiful statement. It's something that we should all work to be able to say. And the thought here is that if I live another day, Christ will be glorified. If God gives me another day on this earth, His needs the needs of the kingdom, the teaching, the admonition, the encouragement, the love of the saints, the love of people, that was what's going to happen. Because God gave me another day to live on His earth. But if I die, how much better is that? Because I get to go home. That's how we have to live. That's what we need to think about. Sometimes that's going to make us very conspicuous, and not in a good way, right? Could you imagine how awkward it would be for Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? It's not where you want to be, where you can be thrown in a fiery furnace. They said God can save us, but whether He will or He won't, we won't bow down to your idol. When we have to dress appropriately on a sports team. That's very conspicuous. Not what most people would choose to do, but those who choose to glorify God will say that. Or what about activities that the uniform is just wrong? Not doing it. Now, see, you're not making a spectacle of yourself in that, you're just not doing it because you can't participate in that. All of these things we need to think about and how we live. But it all boils down to what are we trying to draw, are we trying to draw attention to ourselves? Are we trying to live the things in the way God asks us to? We're supposed to be a light to show people there a better way. If you're on a sports team and you wear appropriate clothing, maybe it will give courage to someone else to do the same thing. Or maybe you stop being on a team because they just, it's not appropriate. Maybe that will give courage to someone else to say, you know what? I'm not gonna be on that team because they require us to wear inappropriate clothing or do inappropriate things or anything like that. Being a light is hard. Being a light consistently is even harder. But it's a beautiful thing. We can help a lot of people if we stand up for godly things and not for ourselves. Let's think on these things and we'll be dismissed to classes.